Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, we fooled you. This is not Steve. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve today, and I'm really fortunate to have Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams here to take all the tough calls.
That's what we're here for.
All the heavy work.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys. You know, last time we did radio together, I shared a little bit about an interview we did with Bart Millard, and he's the Mercy Me lead singer, and he's the subject of the movie I Can Only Imagine. And I just wanted to share with you, you know, we have a phone number up at the end of that movie, 1-800-HELP-FOR-ME. That movie just went to DVD, and we're trying to help that movie get a little recognition in DVD because it's such a redemptive, healing movie. And I want to share with you, if you support New Life, here's some of the things you're supporting. And this relates to the movie because these are calls that came in because people saw the movie and called that number. Mary called in after she saw the movie. The reason why she called us was because she was suicidal. Her father used to wake her up in the middle of the night and beat her. When she saw the movie, it brought back a lot of painful memories. She was in so much pain that she had wanted to commit suicide. But after talking with Mary, she's one of our call center staff, she realized that God could help her to move past her pain and learn to forgive her father for what he did, and she decided to not take her life. Another caller, John, called. He wanted to talk to someone about feeling alone. After all, his mother had abandoned him and left him out one night in his front porch in the middle of a snowstorm. It was hard for him to deal with being abandoned as a child. However, the movie gave him a lot of hope. John realized it wasn't his fault his mom abandoned him. He learned that God loved him, and he wanted to use him to help others. And there's three or four other stories that came to me from our call center about that.
Wow.
But the effect of a movie, how God works, how God put in somebody's mind, used the phone number to put it up at the end of the movie, and what it's done to people. I just want to encourage folks, go get a copy of the movie and go get a copy. You can look on newlife.com, and there is a book that Bart wrote called A Memoir of Bart Millard. And it's the story that the movie is, mm-hmm. but it's in reverse order. The movie came out first, and then he decided to write the book. And so just want to encourage you folks. Okay, we are going to take some calls. Maybe we can get a question in before we go to break. Let's talk to Kathleen on line 6. Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to New Life. How can we help you today?
Hi, yeah. My question is, I'm having trouble. I'm stuck in trusting my husband because I think it was 6 years ago. I discovered him sending emails to other women asking to meet up for dinner and whatnot. And then he did admit to having... He had been texting someone for 3 months, and he said it was a phase. He doesn't do this anymore. And at the time, he also was drinking, which he gave that up. But just because that doesn't reassure me. Is that possible that could be just a phase that he went through in pursuing people, or because he was never like. Treated for it, or they never called it a problem. They just said it was bad decisions. The pastor and the psychologist seemed to think that it was immaturity, but he filed a polygraph in August because I did not know he had sex with another person, and the polygraph revealed that was true. So I really am stuck. How do I trust? Because I feel like everyone thinks I'm overreacting.
Okay,
because
Kathleen,
I'm not trusting yet.
We are going to a break, and Sherry and Chris are going to give you some of the most incredible advice anybody's ever given anybody. So you hold on, and we'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in the large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Professionals are listening.
Okay, we are back, and we are talking with Kathleen in Philadelphia. And she's having trouble trusting her husband for a variety of reasons. And I know Chris and Sherry each have something they'd like to say.
Well, yeah, I'm going to quickly hand this off to Sherry. But when asked, you know, do I trust my husband or how, you know, am I crazy for not trusting him? I'm like, if behavior is untrustworthy, there is nothing to trust. And the fact that he's lied about an affair, that he failed a polygraph, that he's had this behavior. And the question is, can this be a phase or what we call an episode? Can he have an episode of, you know, drinking and affairs and then just sort of like
– turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off or somehow just decide not to. The quick answer is no. Now, I'm not saying all behavior is consistent over a lifetime, but the behavior may be able to be curbed or changed or whatever, but the process that drives that behavior doesn't change unless there is some very, very intentional and hard work done on it over a long period of time.
And I love what you said, Chris, during the break, is that we're hoping that there are some pastors and psychologists and other helping professionals listening to this conversation, because what must have been so hurtful to you also, Kathleen, is that your husband's behaviors were minimized.
Mm-hmm.
And that must have felt really painful. To have them talk about it in terms of immaturity or talk about it as something that just happened. Because you know what the truth is? The truth is, Kathleen, is they don't have X-ray eyes into the soul of a person. Mm-hmm. And when you told me that the polygraph failed, I always hope that somebody's going to go through a polygraph. And because they're doing a polygraph, it's kind of a come to Jesus. It is a fearful process to go through that. And I always hope somebody passes with the truth, because that's the goal of a well-done therapeutic mm-hmm. full disclosure, is that somebody comes into truth-telling. Because God says, confess what you've done, confess your sins so that you can be healed. And if somebody is harboring shame and harboring mm-hmm. affairs and harboring, they can't heal. They can't heal. So, because they're always in hiding. So let me come back to you for a moment. So I did some research with 100 women just like you, Kathleen, who had experienced some level of betrayal. They found things just like you found things. They had discoveries. And some like you were told that there wasn't anything else, and then all of a sudden you find out there's an affair. So from these 100 women, do you know what I discovered? 76% of them, that means 3 out of every 4 of them, were showing clinical symptoms of post-traumatic stress.
Yes, I have that.
I would say you do. I can even hear it in your tone, your hypervigilance, like you're scared.
Yeah, I have that. I was already told I have that.
Okay.
So that doesn't surprise me to hear it again.
Yeah, so let me just let you into a little caveat in light of this trust thing. So when you discovered your husband's sexual betrayals, right, the way the brain works is it wires in a negative belief about ourselves to protect us. And it adds some emotions to it. Fear would be a good one. But the one that I think you're really, that stuck to you is I cannot trust anyone. Mm. That is a normal belief that gets wired in at the crime scene of the sexual behavior.
Well, and it's reasonable based on the fact that her husband was having these affairs and other people were co-signing his minimizing or justifying or flat-out denying it.
Yep.
So her world was untrustworthy there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Chris.
Well, they didn't actually support him. They did tell him what he did was wrong. They gave him the little talk that, you know, how that ruins trust. So they didn't minimize it, but they just didn't really call him up to do anything about it.
And you know what?
That's minimizing.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's minimizing.
Yeah, they just say, well, we'll talk to him once a week. They, you know, they have their little chat. And it doesn't seem like it's addressing the problem. He is a lot better in many ways as far as he's not drinking and he doesn't have the temper and all this. But that's nice. That's a great thing. But I just don't trust him in the other areas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know if he's acting out. I just know I haven't caught him.
Okay. Well, that's a problem.
So maybe he's
though.
Covering his tracks better. I like to think he's not, but I'm not a fool.
But who knows, right? And that's a part of his recovery. Mm-hmm. When I know that a guy is serious, because we have guys that come to Every Man's Battle, and the guys that go are willing to do something, not just, you know, say it and then get kind of a pass and meet with somebody once a week, but men that are really willing to come, spend 3 days to look at the issue in a no-shame zone, and then actually get into recovery groups, get into a sex addiction, 12-step recovery groups where they're starting to work on their issue. They've got sponsors that are holding them accountable. There's a sobriety date, and they're going to tell you that. That's the last day that they sexually acted out, and that date could be polygraphed at any time. There's a whole bunch of things that are part of recovery, right? It's not just getting caught and feeling bad and then, you know, minimally handling a few things.
And Kathleen, it is what – for him, it's what's bringing what was hidden into the light, and it's not a one-time deal. I want to make sure that that's crystal clear. It's that his behavior and what he's doing, and especially in today's world, and I hammer this over and over and over again, what happens on electronic devices matters immensely. This idea that my phone purely belongs to me or my computer is false if I want a good, healthy marriage. Right. It's that these things, and these are hard conversations to have initially. Eventually, they actually become, this sounds strange, but fun or connecting. And, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what I saw. Here's, you know, being able to bring it out into the open. And so part of the minimization is he gets to talk about it with somebody else once a week, and somehow the trust is resolved in your marriage. That just doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
No, and then, like, he was even kind of talked out of it when the pastor said, oh, I don't think he needs a sex addiction group because I don't think two dead batteries will charge each other or something like this.
Oh, my goodness.
Put it like two people that are down and out can't be good for each other.
Well, that's why new life is necessary.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's why
he went to your battle. He went to the battle. I can't think of the name of the program. The
Every
one
Man's Battle.
For the men.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went there.
When did he go? How long ago?
He thought those guys were really much worse than he was.
Well, yeah, and that's until he failed the polygraph. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So some of the guys come and they're in denial, and Every Man's Battle helps to wake them up, but not all of them, are coming out of denial.
What does it say that the reason he went there was to compare himself to how bad other guys were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the goal is, what have I done? Why did I do it? What can I do to restore relationship, restore my heart, my right. life? And that's right. not where he was.
Yeah, he wasn't ready for that. And so, but steps need to be taken now, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like yeah. you can't really wish this would go away and kind of just ante up the effort to try to trust him again. Trust is earned over time. And I have a chapter in my book called To Tell the Truth. And I think that would be, I have two chapters. One is To Tell the Truth, and the other is How He Can Help Her Heal. And I think those would be two places that yeah. you guys yeah. can really begin yeah. to drill down and look at what you haven't done.
Mm-hmm. We're going to send you that book, Sherry's book. The title
is Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal.
And I'm also going to send you another book. I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust. It's a book for him, but you ought to read it too. And okay. it's the steps that he needs to do to really restore trust. And it's the story of, it's written by the presenter at Every Man's Battle, Jason Martinkus. So I would just okay. really encourage you to look at those and take some of these steps and find some.
Should he go back to that program?
He absolutely again, should. Absolutely. We have guys yeah. that go more than once because it didn't take the first time. There's something about their spirit and about where they were. Some right. guys go to check off a box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went there. I'm
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think that may have been why.
Yeah, but yeah. but he needs to come with more of a contrite spirit and a willingness to look at himself and not, yes, you're in a group and you hear about all the other guys and what they're doing, but you don't go there to listen and to say, well, I'm not as bad as them.
Yeah. Well, and one last thing, Kathleen, right. is that what you're sure. feeling and what you're experiencing matter.
Yes.
Don't be talked right. out of it. Even like this sounds strange, but even if you're wrong, that's where you have your community and your support group helping you go through it. So hint, hint, find that. But with that said, the addict is right 20% of the time and wrong 80% of the time.
And
the affected person is right 80% of the time and wrong 20% of the time. I would take your yeah. 80% over his 20% any day of the week.
And consider, we have a workshop for you, too. It's called Restore, and it's to help women whose husbands have done these things and betrayed them sexually, and it's to get their hearts right and to help them have the tools to reengage and not feel the shame that they're feeling and the hurt and the pain. So I would ask you to consider that as well. But
okay, I will.
Thank you for calling us. It's a good call, and we're just grateful that we can shed a little light for you and that you might be able to get some help and your husband get some further help.
I love that the every call is lit up. We have
yeah.
so many folks here today. Who do you want to go to next?
So, well, I want to do one thing first, and then we'll take another call. I want to remind people, if you make a gift this month, in the month of July, we will send you a unique gift. We've never done this before. This is a new one. It is a DVD, and it has 12 videos on it from our Club New Life library. You know, we have created that video library for our Club New Life members as to thank them for their monthly support. We want to get you a flavor and a taste of that. We want it for two reasons. The videos will help you. That's number one. Number two, it might entice you to consider, that's quite a library, and maybe I should be signing up for Club New Life. So make a gift, a one-time gift. Get this DVD, see how it helps you. And you can do that by calling 800-NEW-LIFE, going online, newlife.com. Okay. Let's go to Tay in Redford, Michigan. Listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Tay. How are you doing?
Hi, yes.
How can we help you?
Hi, I was calling to ask a question. It's kind of a complicated question. I actually just heard your talk station while listening to Sirius Radio. So
good.
It's my first time.
Okay.
My question is just basically, I have four children. We live in a, I guess, kind of like an integrated marriage or something like that where my first two children are by another husband. I got divorced and then remarried. We ran into a living situation where we had to split up. And, you know, two of my children are living with one part of the family, and two of them are living with the other part of the family. So that's just a little bit of my background on what my question is coming from.
Okay.
And my question is for my daughter. You know, while we're going through this transition in life, I feel like I have lost her respect and her trust, and she's bonded with my mother-in-law, and it's like I can't get her to respect me because my mother-in-law is like really giving. She kind of like treats her really nice and treats her like, oh, you're my princess, you're the boss and all this. And I'm trying to figure out how to get my daughter back while we're going through this. I hope that wasn't complicated.
Well, we're going to take a break here in a few seconds, and we'll get you some advice and get you some help.
And is it the mother-in-law of the first husband that you're divorced, or the mother-in-law, the one that you're married to now?
The one that I'm married to now.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Well, you're listening to New Life Live. We count on financial support, and we'd love for you to be a part of that with us. We'd love for you to join Club New Life. We ask for 6 Club New Life members to join each day. Would you be one of those 6 and help us monthly with support? We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours could change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Tay, and her daughter seems to be more bonded with her mother-in-law, and she's wondering how to get her back. So what do you guys think?
Well, Tay, I think this is, you said it's complicated. I would actually use the word chaotic. And so there seems to be a lot of chaos going on in the family. And by the way, how old is this daughter of yours that's bonded with your mother-in-law?
She's 9 years old now.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I say, oh, my goodness, because the relational or family chaos that happens around a 9-year-old gets inside of a 9-year-old. And so she is dealing with a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty. And if everyone else comes in with controlling behavior, like say, hey, I want your respect. And I'm like, from a 9-year-old who is dealing with that much internal turmoil, like what she needs more than anything else is not for her to respect you, but for you to comfort her and be consistent and move into her space. Now your mother-in-law or grandma may be showering her with gifts and or accolades or praises, and that's going to feel very, very good for her. And if that feels good for her, of course she's going to want to be with her more and be bonded more tightly to her. But what she really needs more than anything else is for a mom to show up consistently, lovingly, over and over and over and over again to somewhere to provide calm in the midst of her storm.
So, Tay, I have a question for you. What was it like for you growing up? And were there these alliances that made you feel like you were on the outside? Or were there people that polarized in your family where maybe you lost connection or a relationship was threatened?
Wow, that's a good question. I've never really thought about anything like that. I mean, I grew up pretty healthy. I mean, my biological father wasn't there, so I think it started there, but my mom was remarried. I've been through a lot. I don't know how to answer it, but there were some separating feelings when it comes to my mom and her mom. I wasn't accepted when my mother found out she was having me, actually, and the family kind of, you know, not turned their backs on my mom, but my mom made a choice that, no, I want my daughter. So we kind of went through that separation for a while. And even though I was little, I didn't know about it. But when I'm older, you know, I felt it. And now I notice it even more now that I'm older.
Totally.
So that's the first thing that comes to mind. Just what my mom went through, which, you know, caused me to go through it.
Yeah, so you had a couple of losses right in the beginning of your life, right? You lost your dad, and then your grandmother had some really strong feelings about you coming into the world, and there was a broken alliance. So do you see how these transitions cause a lot of fear in your heart? It's like transitions within families means I'm going to lose somebody. And I think what this is for you, Tay, is I think you're getting triggered. I think it's a trauma trigger for you. It's a trauma trigger. But doesn't it make sense why here you're in another transition, right? Two kids are living with one family and you've got two kids here and you're afraid of losing her. And it's the reason I wondered that is because I thought, there would probably be some moms who would go through a separation like this and their mother-in-law would bond to their daughter and they'd be like, thank goodness, help is on the way. Like, I am so glad.
Relieved.
Yeah, like, I'm so glad my mother-in-law is into my kids because I'm telling you,
I mean, of course, like in the beginning, but now it's just because this started when she was born. It's almost like my mother-in-law has had this hold on her.
Okay. And you're
from a baby.
Okay. And because of the alliances in your past and because of what you're seeing in the present, you're afraid you're going to lose her. You're afraid you're going to lose your daughter. And that's going to put you in a place of fear. It's going to cause you to polarize. It's going to cause you to send messages that your daughter has to pick. And that's not going to help her.
Well,
yeah. It's not healthy for her. It would be really healthy, like Chris said, for both of you to love her. And the more worried you are about losing her, the more adversarial, whether it's conscious or unconscious, you're going to be sending these messages of fear.
Yeah. Tay, you can't control your daughter and connect with her at the same time. What she needs is not to be controlled. She needs to be connected with.
Okay.
And by the way, so do you. You need people in your life, as Sherry was alluding to and saying, is that, like, you've been through a lot. That fear of that loss is really intense. And you need a way to survive the intensity. And you do that through your own connecting with safe people.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to trauma triggers, they can feel kind of bigger than life. And getting into some good treatment with a therapist to help you bring reality into that painful pocket is how we can let go of it. It doesn't have to drive us. It doesn't have to rule our lives. It actually, we can heal. And so stay on the line. We'll hook you up to somebody in your area.
And we'll send you a copy of How We Love. I think that might be a really good
book.
Really
How We Love Our Kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Or both.
Yeah,
or both.
We'll do both.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of things to be aware of. The first is Covenant Eyes, our partner in an internet filter for your computer. It's a great accountability tool that sends reports of your online activity to individuals that you choose. You can use it with your spouse, a friend, or accountability partner, and it provides reports of online activity on tablets, smartphones, and computers. You'll get your first 30 days free when you use the code NLM. Look for the Covenant Eyes link on the newlife.com website to get started. And New Life is returning to Israel early next year, March 16th through the 26th. You'll take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, walk on the Mount of Olives, see the Garden of Gethsemane, explore the Garden Tomb, and a whole lot more. Also, the radio hosts will give talks to help you apply God's truth to your life. If you want more information on that, go to newlife.com or just give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 639-5433. Larry, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Before we go and speak with John, I just want to remind you guys that tomorrow Every Man's Battle starts in Atlanta, Georgia, and it is not too late to sign up, and I know there's only about 12,000 of you guys in Atlanta that need it, so give us a call. this is an issue that defies boundaries, age, race, ethnicity.
Yeah.
And it's
background,
an issue.
Demographics, anything.
It doesn't discriminate.
No.
Yeah, and there's a lot of men who are caught up in it that actually want to get out
know
how.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
I'm surprised how many men that I talk to just that say, I don't know how to stop this. Yeah. I've tried, and I can't.
And I want to plug something, because just this week, I've been on the phone with a couple of the counselors, the facilitators there. Larry, this team is
amazing,
incredible. These guys really, really know what they're doing. They understand it. There's not too many issues in the area of sexual brokenness that they haven't seen and don't know what to do with. So this isn't just a random group of guys coming together talking about an issue. This is a high, high level of professional care and guidance. And
one of the beauties about this group of guys, this team, is they model what we hope the guys who attend need to experience to fully and really get out of it. That is redemptive relationships. Mm-hmm. And so,
and it's been a part of their journey. I mean, I'm not wanting to expose the guys, but these guys have been through it themselves, have come out the other side, and that's what makes them really special. Yeah.
So if you don't have to be in Atlanta to come to this. We have people come long ways to these workshops, but it starts tomorrow. It's not too late to sign up. Call us, 800-NEW-LIFE. Okay, let's go speak with John. And John listens in Orlando, Florida, WTLN. Hello, John. How can we help you?
Hello. My question is, are some people damaged beyond repair?
No. But I'll let Sherry
answer. There's a short answer.
Give us a little more information. How have you been damaged? What's your pain?
Well, a lot of childhood trauma. My mother made me the kind of the shame receptacle of our family. Our family had a tremendous amount of shame, my father was. Both my parents came from very bad places. My father was addicted to multiple things. I think probably his primary addiction was sex, but also alcohol and just about anything, I mean, that you could use to manage being conscious. And it was just a terrible place to be. And from the time, I mean, ever since I was a kid, it's like a person waiting for retirement. The thing that I've hoped the most for is the end of this life.
Wow,
boy. Wow.
Sorry for those feelings.
John, that's a tremendous amount of pain and anxiety. John, inside of you, and not always in your head, but actually what I talk with my clients about all the time, between your chin and your belly button is a tremendous amount of pain and emptiness and confusion.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when I was 15. I've been hospitalized multiple times. I've had 4 bowel resections, wore a bag for 4 years. And I've done, I've been sober from drugs and alcohol for over 30 years. I've been through every man's battle and was sober from, all of that for a period of time. And instead of things getting better, things just keep getting worse.
And what are you doing today? What are you seeking as far as help and healing?
Well,
for?
I've done a ton of counseling, both inpatient and one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I've done the EMDR, and I've done counseling, hypnosis, and things that I don't even know the names for, and therapy.
Yeah, what's been most helpful for you in your journey?
I guess the thing that's been the most helpful is, I go to 12-step meetings and, that has been the most helpful.
Can I make a guess on what has been most helpful about the 12-step meetings? There's other warm bodies in the room that understand you. That there are people out there that what we call the fellowship. And the fellowship is a thing that helps you have a place to belong, helps you have a place where you can talk about the things that you wouldn't talk about or feel comfortable talking about other places.
You don't feel alone.
Exactly. Yeah. And you have relationship. And in your family, relationship meant pain. And so closeness has almost got to feel like being a burn victim for you. It's that you want it and you desire it. You actually need it. But if you touch the skin, it actually hurts. If you get too close, it hurts, and that is the triggering of the shame and the painfulness that you carry inside of you from the horrific childhood that you survived and you went through. But I also want to tell you something today that I think is really important and that you need to hear. You are way stronger than you're giving yourself credit for. What that child survived growing up in that home is nothing less than absolutely remarkable. That kid is...
Yeah, but I don't want to be stronger. I don't want any part of this life.
I understand that. I understand that. And I understand that the pain is just continuing to go and go and go without what seems today like a solution. And you're just stuck in a hopeless place right now. And what I'm doing is I'm accessing, trying to access a different part of you that is there. It's inside of you. Your story tells me it's there. Can you access that, John?
Well, I think I would have done myself in about 1,000 times before now if I mean, I hate that part of me.
What part of you do you hate?
That part of me that causes me to still be here.
That part of
the
you.
The part, the strong part that you're talking about.
Yes.
It's hate that part more than anything else.
Yes, because he's had to survive so long and be hated. That part of you now needs to be loved. It needs to be cared for. It needs to be seen.
Well, I've had to learn how to care for myself in so many ways. It's funny because the Crohn's disease has been as much of a blessing as it's been a burden, mm-hmm. because I've been forced to learn how to care for myself. Mm-hmm. But nothing seems to matter. It's always the undercurrent of my life is the, intolerable anxiety and self-loathing.
Yes, and the thing is that you said nothing matters. The key is that, John, you've been struggling with your whole life, is that John doesn't matter. And the way that we find ourselves mattering is not just in the relationship with ourselves, but absolutely in the relationship that we have with other people. That's the strength of the fellowship. That's the strength of being around other people. And that's just the continuing guidance that I want you to be like, no, that part that you're hating about John needs to be loved about John, and it can lead you into better places.
Let me share a thought with you, John, and it comes out of my own life experience, having experienced trauma from very early on through my life, is that it's not just one thing. It's not just one thing. What happened to you impacted you body, soul, mind, brain, and spirit.
Yeah.
And I'm, like Chris, am hearing these tremendous steps you've taken to try to get free, to try to live, to try to get out of the pain. And it's interesting. I love your word, the shame receptacle.
Yeah.
I love that. You know why? Because it made sense to me. I thought, in essence, the receptacle is kind of like the trash, right? And I thought, what John has been working on doing all his life is taking out this trash.
Yeah.
Taking out the trash that's in you. And you still have some more work to do. And I have a thought for you when we come back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Sherry, you have a thought for John.
Yeah, so hey, John, and it might seem kind of weird, and I know we just have a few minutes here, but when I think about your Crohn's disease and what's happened to your body, in essence, there's this receptacle now that you have. Your body's leaking out this gunk. Right? You've been impacted on so many levels. And so one thing that I have seen in some of us as trauma survivors is our brain gets jacked up. And a colleague of mine who does something called brain state technology, his name is Rick Tanzi, and some people, because of the magnitude of trauma, their brain gets stuck in freeze. It gets stuck in a frozen place, and they can't absorb the good. Their brain won't let them. Their brain is so much in fight. It's so much in flight that they can't take in what they need to heal. I want you to check them out and see if maybe that's another thing to add in to what you're trying to do, because it can be frustrating for people to want to take in the good. But if your brain is working against you, that's what I would recommend. And then there is a negative belief in the world of EMDR that says I'm permanently damaged. It's actually a belief. And so maybe going back and addressing that, the opposite is actually I'm okay. I'm a survivor. I am a product of post-traumatic growth. I am resilient. And again, those are truths about you that we hear. And we're for you, John. We are for you in our hearts. Yeah. We care about you.
John, I'm sorry that, you know, I wish we had hours to talk to you. You've got a lot of things going on in your life. And we desire for you help and the hope that I think God really wants for you. And I know that's hard for you to see. We hope you'll continue with your counseling. We want to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, I think might be as good as anything that we have for you. And we'll be praying for you, John, so hang in there.
Yeah, and our listeners, if you've been a part of this conversation, if you can pray for him as well,
absolutely,
that his heart continues to hope in a path to freedom.
Yeah.
There is no person that is damaged too far beyond repair.
That's exactly right.
We've seen that over and over.
Yep.
Okay, I just want to say to the, we have a lot of calls waiting. We can't get to you all this hour, but we will next hour. So please, please, please hold on. But we're going to finish up here with Missy on line three. Missy, how can we help you today? Missy is missing. Let's put it on hold and we'll come back to Missy.
Hey, Larry, I have one thought for John. You know what the book I thought about also? I know we've been so generous today about giving books away. And this is Larry who's trying to help.
Up, so go ahead.
Okay, but you know what? It's I Can Only Imagine, the author of that.
Oh, that's a great book.
Can we send him that as well? You know why? Because it's a real life story of somebody who...
Yeah, a memoir by Bart Miller.
Yeah, I think that might touch his heart and give him some hope.
Let's do it.
Still thinking about you, John.
Yeah.
Let's go talk to Brooke. Brooke's in Cincinnati on WCVX. She listens. Hello, Brooke.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time, but we want to take your call.
Okay. Well, I will try to make it quick. So my
basic question is, should I continue to pursue reconciliation with my ex-husband? We've been divorced for about 6 weeks, and just to give you a little bit of history, he is my second husband. My first husband had an affair and did not want to continue the marriage. And I met my second husband during my first divorce. And so I feel like we got involved too soon. I didn't have time to grieve my first marriage or the loss of it. Mm-hmm. And I have held, during my marriage to my second husband, I've held a lot of things against him that I don't really believe were his fault. Ways that he advised me during my divorce, just a lot of things that occurred. And my first husband also chose to blame him. And so during the divorce to my second husband, we were married for 4 years, and we dated for 2.5. So during those 6.5 years, my first husband and my second husband had an extremely adversarial relationship. My first husband did not want my kids to like my new husband. He was set out on destroying our marriage, and he did a pretty good job of it. So another factor was that my new husband had a lot of controlling and jealous type of behavior. And so he was always worried about who I was talking to, where I was, needing a lot of reassurance in that area. And over time, that took its toll. He, about a year ago...
So Ms. Brooke, I've got to ask you a question. I'm slow, but which husband are you wanting to pursue reconciliation or asking?
I'm wanting to pursue my second husband.
Second husband, okay. Does he want to pursue you? Do you sense that?
He did until 6 weeks ago. He did.
Okay.
He fought quite a bit harder than I did. He sought out treatment and therapy for his behavior. He worked very hard at it. And I feel like I didn't accept it. I did see how hard he was working, and I saw the changes, but I didn't have any patience for him.
I'm so sorry. I got to jump in here because we're going to run really short on time, but very quickly here. There's one person missing in this entire picture. Do you know who it is? It's you.
Me?
Yes.
Right.
I don't hear your voice. I don't hear what your wants and your desires. And you have used passivity as your winning formula. And unfortunately, you have lost this entire time. You've been cheated on. You've been controlled. You've been manipulated. Your life has not been your own. Your decisions aren't your own. You're wondering if you should reconcile with a guy who's controlling. And so there's so much uncertainty and ambiguity inside of you. And the real work that you need to do right now is discover, where is Brooke? Where is that solid identity inside of you? To understand your value, to understand your wants and your opinions.
So you're saying don't pursue somebody else right now, but pursue yourself.
Yes.
Anything, Sherry, in the last minute?
I am hearing consequences of betrayal trauma. Mm-hmm. So she mm-hmm. didn't even heal from her pain, from the hurt, the affairs and all that. So I actually would love to get her into, you know, my book, Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal, because I go into talking about past and how the past impacts your present and the betrayal. I think she needs to look at herself, and I'd love to send her that book as a tool
to do that. But yeah. We need to encourage you to find a counselor.
Yeah.
And if you'll hold on, our call screener can help you or transfer you to somebody that can help you find somebody there in the Cincinnati area, because you have some work to do. So thank you for calling. I'm sorry it had to be a shortened call.
But I think we handed her exactly what she needed. You're right, Chris. You got to start with us.
Yeah.
You have a scripture you'd like to close with? Hey.
You know, in the great love chapter, and I actually think about John, our caller John today. And in 1 Corinthians 13, there's these descriptors of what love is, and also love is not. But I want to end here. love always perseveres. Mm. And because love never fails, it will always be victorious. It perseveres because it knows the ending. Choose a gritty, tough, resilient love today. You'll win.
That's a great thought to close it out with. Thank you for joining us. We love what we do. We want you to experience the redemptive power of Jesus. That the same power that raised him from the dead is available to
you. Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.